Honorable Chairs and Committee Members, my name is Rafael Aldrete, and I'm Center Director for the Texas Transportation Institute Office in El Paso. It's an honor for me to testify in this chamber today on the topic of Transportation Reinvestment Zones, TRZs. I, along with other colleagues at TTI, have had the opportunity to be involved in research and implementation efforts around TRZs for the last 2 years. We were involved in the development and implementation of the City of El Paso TRZ number 1. In that project, we conducted a preliminary analysis of the value capture potential of the TRZ prior to establishment in December 2008. We are currently involved in a research project sponsored by the Texas Department of Transportation aimed at providing various mechanisms to augment the implementation of TRZs across the state. More specifically, the research will address the following: knowledge gaps and provide guidance with respect to current TRZ legislation among potential stakeholders, any issues that arise from our legislation, and cost-effective, simple, and standardized guidance for ascertaining the feasibility of TRZs. The state of Texas has responded to the national transportation funding crisis by passing several bills allowing innovative and alternative options for project financing. Among these is Senate Bill 1266, passed in 2007 by the 80th legislature, which provides the legal backdrop for the creation of TRZs. As such, it's a non-commercial form of public-private partnership, a feature which distinguishes it from traditional forms of PPP. TRZs encourage interagency coordination of investment strategies with the objective of stimulating private investment. However, and despite the relatively extensive experience with other forms of value capture in Texas, such as the tax increment reinvestment zones, the use of TRZs as an effective innovative financing mechanism by local governments in the state remains limited. This can be attributed to three main factors. First, limited knowledge of the provisions of Senate Bill 1266, the understanding of transportation reinvestment zone concept and how it differs from a tax increment reinvestment zone is very limited. Also, the awareness of the provisions set forth by the bill and particularly its connection with the pass-through mechanism is very limited. Official documents available offer limited guidance and leave many important areas undefined. For example, how funds are to flow and who bears the financial performance risk. Second, limited experience with and technical guidance for the evaluation and implementation of TRZs. To date, only three local governments in the state, the cities of El Paso and Forney and Hidalgo County, have started and completed the process of establishing a TRZ. And only the City of El Paso has moved forward with project implementation. There is a need to identify the differences in the ways these local entities have approached implementation of the legislation. There is also a limited awareness of the challenges associated with the evaluation of the value capture potential of a TRZ, particularly those associated with data acquisition, aggregation, and analysis. The perception of the possible cost and complexity associated with a preliminary assessment may also be a factor that limits the adoption of Senate Bill 1266 by local governments. Third, the limited understanding of the bill's possible application to transit and potential extensions. Because of its linkage with pass-through finance, the direct implications of Senate Bill 1266 to transit are not clear. For instance, the legislation opens the door for transit financing via surplus revenue capture, but the conditions in which this can be possible are not clear. Our current research effort for TxDOT examining TRZ implementation will be concluded later this year and will address some of these issues. I will be happy to take any questions at this point.
What I would ask you to do as committee chair is to, as you all conduct your study, give us some specific recommendations for improvement or for adding clarity to the law. We would be very grateful for that, and we think you're uniquely qualified to do that. Members, are there questions? Senator Davis.
Just a quick question, and this goes to your point, Mr. Chair. I understand the point you're raising in terms of how we want to prioritize where our sales tax revenues might go. And through the creation of mechanisms like this, we might be making an indication of that sort of a preference. In my experience working on economic development issues in the city of Fort Worth, and I chaired the Economic Development Committee for a number of years, we had a but-for test when we were asking the question about whether to initiate these kinds of partnerships. And the question was, but for the creation of that partnership, would we realize those revenues? And so we were always trying to present the question to ourselves in a way that looked at whether we would be receiving those revenues other than the public partnership that was created to make them realizable. And so in this situation, I think it's a little harder to paint that picture. When you're doing a typical tax increment reinvestment zone, for example, in a municipality, let's say, you might be creating a public-private partnership to leverage the ability to create future tax dollars that otherwise weren't going to come to the table without that partnership's existence. And so it's not that you were giving up a tax revenue, it's that you were making one realizable that never would have occurred absent that partnership's creation. Ultimately, with the goal of those proceeds coming into the city and the county and the school district's coffers after the term of that partnership, how do you create that same argument for a transportation reinvestment zone? It seems a little less logical, but I'm inviting you to help me understand how that would be created. Does that make sense? Does the question make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense to me. At least I think it does. The road, it's been proven, I think, that roads will typically generate new development, whether it be commercial, residential, whatever, or they will promote redevelopment in areas. So in a similar fashion to a TERS, you are targeting a specific area and trying to capture what happens in that area. And to kind of use your but-for test, but for this road, would you be experiencing this development or redevelopment? And I think the presumption is no, you wouldn't be, at least not to the level that it's going to occur because it's installed. So therefore, it makes sense to capture that money, put it back into that project because that's what helps get the project done in the first place. And then beyond the term of it, you have the benefits going forward.
And so is it like a tax increment reinvestment zone in that at the point in time that the TRZ is created, there's already an identifiable private partner that's coming to the table and saying, this is the development that I am going to bring forward as a result of your commitment to create the infrastructure that's going to pass by and give me the opportunity for consumers in my development?
Well, when you say private partner, I'm not sure if you mean the developer of a roadway or the developers of the property around the road.
Of the property.
Okay. There can or can't be. I mean, it just depends. I don't know that it necessarily has to be, though. I think there's enough certainty or predictability, particularly in certain areas, and this would be reflected in the studies that would underlie a TRZ study used to finance a project, but that growth will occur, whether it's through an agreement with a specific developer, and I think maybe Mr. Brooks and Forney have something closer to that arrangement, or in others where it's just, it's going to grow around there, and enough of the economists that would do the underlying study know that it's going to grow at some rate in there, and you can predict that and leverage against it.
I would be interested in seeing where the predictability and the reliability of those sorts of projections how those are playing out in. Are there other states that are using this tool where we could look at them as models?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, the TERS model would be one close one. I think it's going to really vary. It's going to be very fact-specific. I mean, the one in El Paso is in a very already heavily urbanized area, and so I think there's a heavy banking on redevelopment of that area that will be improved. Others are more undeveloped area. I think in Forney it's relatively undeveloped, but there's planned development there. It's zoned for it. It's got the other attributes that will – And the growth patterns around those areas would support that. I mean, ultimately, the market's going to be the true test on this, because if you're going to take that revenue stream and leverage it, there's going to be people, just like a traffic and revenue study on a toll project, there's going to be people looking very hard at what your assumptions were and what your projected growth patterns are, what your tax rates, have proven over the years. So, I mean, there is that kind of governor there in all instances.
Thank you.
To add to that answer, if in the state of Florida, they have a similar arrangement with developers directly for cases of financing intersections or interchanges for highways. They're doing something very similar. It's a direct agreement with a developer for a.
But it's a private developer.
A private developer.
The real estate projects themselves.
Yes.
Okay.